Hey, I'm your host, Mari Wagner, and you're listening to the Ever Be Podcast, where faith meets lifestyle. I'm so excited you're here. Whether you're a new listener or a longtime follower, I know there's something here for you. Pull up a chair and listen in for insightful, real-life conversations and actionable steps on how to claim the full life God created you for. If you're a woman desiring to live a Christ-centered life in today's modern world, then this is for you. Welcome to the Ever Be Podcast. Hey, welcome back, everybody. Another Wednesday. And this time we have a very exciting guest, a dear friend, Mackenzie Hunter. Y'all might know her as a caffeinated Catholic. So we're super excited to have you. Welcome, Mackenzie.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here. I feel like a lot of people honestly don't know my name a lot. I'm a caffeinated Catholic to them. So good clarification.
Yes. Honestly, I feel like I didn't know your last name for the longest time. Yeah. And just this summer, I meant to text another friend, Mackenzie, and I texted you on accident, this whole like dinner party invite. And you're like, I think you got the wrong Mackenzie. But I remember when I them, I was like, I don't know which one is which. Like, what is the last name? And I couldn't remember
your
last
name. So funny. Yeah. Like, I'd love to come to your dinner party, but I'm like a 12-hour drive away. So,
oh, yeah, that'd be fun. Maybe one day.
Yeah, one day.
But we have her on today to chat about seasons of singleness and how to live that out fully, how to live it well, how to just do all the things. And I was telling Mackenzie before we started and hit record that I've just admired her living her life out to the fullest, regardless of the season she's in. And I think specifically when it comes to vocation and waiting for your vocation, whether that be entering into a relationship or discerning religious life or marriage or motherhood or whatever, it can be so easy to fall into this like lie of like, my life doesn't start until insert blank, right? And we like hold ourselves back. And the more I think about that, the more I'm just like, dang, that's such a disservice to the Lord to be like, you gave me, you know, 80, 90, 100 years of life. And I felt like X amount of these were wasted until I got what I wanted or until the thing that I was praying for came true. When really, like, the Lord has written like a whole story of our lives and He's intentional with every season. And so I love the way that you live intentionally, and that's why I wanted to bring you on to encourage our listeners today who are in a similar season.
Thank you so much. That was so beautifully said. Like, what can I say? You just nailed it.
Done.
Okay. Podcast.
Before we dive in, we are starting a new segment. We just brought Everbe back. We were on a break. We're starting a new segment called Everbe Moments, and basically this is a space for us to have the Lord's praise ever be on our lips, which is the mission of this podcast. So this is just a space for you and I to share like a little God wink or a God moment, or maybe like a big way that God has worked in your life lately, but just a moment to give glory to God and just reflect on the ways that He's working in our lives. So what is your ever be moment?
Such a great question. I feel like these days I am just fresh off coming off of the Jubilee of the Digital Missionaries and Catholic Influencers in Rome. For those who don't know, it was a gathering of digital missionaries, people who are in some way involved in that space, to just like encourage and learn from one another and everything. And so I had just been, it was so cool. So that's a pretty big thing, but I've just been reflecting on just like the Lord's faithfulness and showing up in an online platform. I started posting in 2018. I never could have imagined it'd go here. And just to like, I feel like I have such imposter syndrome sometimes showing up online, but just to trust that like the Holy Spirit has been moving and has been moving in all these other people's lives and like hearing their stories has just been like, it's given me this like fervor for my, I hate to use the word ministry, but like online ministry a bit. And just like, it's been so cool to see reflect on the past 7 years and what God has done.
That is amazing. I love that. The whole experience, I was watching you post about it online, like looked so cool. I'm like, wow, so FOMO. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
My,
that's pretty amazing.
My Everbe moment, I feel like it's just going to sound so cliche Catholic, but it is adoration and the Eucharist. And it's just because it like never fails us. And I traveled for a bit in August, and I felt like July and August, my prayer life was just like kind of a mess. And when I came back from my trips in August, I was like, okay, reinserting discipline into my life, restructuring my morning routine, making prayer the first thing of my day, because that's just like the only way I'm able to do it. And I committed for September to a goal of adoration Monday, Wednesday, Fridays. And the difference I felt just the first week of doing it, we're like literally 2 weeks in, just the first week of doing it, and like my life truly felt like completely renewed. Like it actually felt like I had more energy and life and excitement in me. Like I felt like I could take on the day. I felt like I didn't have like an afternoon crash or was like lethargic or like, I don't know. And then as well as just like new creativity, like so much creativity in my work and in my life that was just, I felt like it was just like coming out of every part of me. And I was like, oh my gosh, like idea overload, creativity overload. What do I do with all this?
I love that.
Which was awesome and exciting. And for anybody who's been like a devout listener of the podcast, when I took a break in May, literally was because I was so creatively drained and exhausted from pushing myself.
That's
and
so
I was
like, real.
Yeah. And I was just like, I need to step back, you guys. Like, I need to step back. And like, to serve you well, I need to step back and I need to take a break and I need to reassess. And so the fact that the answer is prayer and the answer is
adoration.
It's like, it's frustrating and it's great all in one because it's like great because it's like, okay, that's easy. Perfect. Like, we can always go back to that. And then it's frustrating because it's like, really? That like we knew that like again like
we
it's
knew this again. And I still found myself in this position. Yeah, seriously.
The answer is prayer. Okay, so never let go of prayer. But yeah, I just feel like I am like being renewed with so much like zeal and fervor for so many parts of my life, and I feel like I just need to attribute that to Jesus in the Eucharist and just the power and the graces we receive. So shout out.
That's my thing for me. I've actually been thinking about that these days. I've been trying to prioritize daily mass these days. And thinking that I want to get back to adoration because there's something to just like have that space. And like, I 100% feel you in the creative space of like, I don't know, when you spend time in prayer, it's like all of a sudden I have all these new ideas and things like that. It's like it's time for the Lord sometimes, of course. It's so obvious, but it also, we forget it. So I completely feel you there. I love that.
And I was talking to someone else recently who is a missionary, like at like a Catholic camp, and she just kept talking to me about like their prayer life as missionaries, which was very similar to what mine was like when I was a focus missionary on campus, daily mass every day, an hour in adoration every day. And she's like, we need to care for ourselves because we're pouring out to other people. And I was like, yeah, and I'm still a missionary. Like you and I, like we are still missionaries. Yeah. Like we are
missionaries.
literally needs to come, like we need to be poured into from somewhere. Yeah. And well, we can't just expect us to like endlessly be this like bottomless pit of like grace that's not even ours and energy and creativity. Like it's all from the Lord. Like we work for the Lord.
All from the Lord.
Yeah, really need him. So anyways, that's my moment for this week. But let's just dive in.
I love it. Yeah.
Let's dive in. I think if we just start out, can you start out by maybe giving a little intro as well as just like a little bit about your own story? What have you kind of gone through? What has your life looked like? And what have you learned to really embrace this season of singleness as a Catholic woman right now?
Yeah. Big question. Okay. So first, I'll just give a little intro to me for anyone who might not know me. My name is Mackenzie. I am based here in Minnesota. I am 26 years old, and I have just been on this journey the past number of years in my young adult life of like figuring out what it means to live life as a young Catholic. And like, you know, you often look for people who are similar to you in their faith. And I've always loved writing. And back in the day, back in 2018, I call it like my overflow from my prayer life. Just like I had all these things to say, and I started like kind of just putting it into that forum. And it was a blog website originally that I had started. It was called The Abundant Adventure. And eventually I kind of started to find that people weren't really reading blog websites so much anymore, which is interesting because I do actually think it's making a bit of a comeback, but that's a story for another day. But at the time, there was a lot less blog website reading. And so I started the Instagram for A Cafe and Catholic. I switched to A Cafe and Catholic in January 2019. And it just came this space of overflow from my prayer life, trying to figure it out and kind of documenting that process along the way. And the community has just grown over the years. I also like social media as opposed to a blog website because there's so much more space for dialogue.
Yeah.
And like people could comment or DM. And I felt like I'm getting to know these people. Yeah. And so, yeah, for the past almost 7 years, I've been running Cafe and Catholic Instagram. That's how I get connected to people like Mari.
Yeah.
But one of the things that I have documented along the way is like learning how to love my life as a single woman. I don't think it's something that I ever like. I don't know that it's wrong to say that I like struggled with it, because that's not correct. I would say about 3.5 years ago, I got out of about a 3-year relationship, and it was just this new reality of learning like, okay, what does it mean to be alone? And what does the Lord want for this season of my life? Before that, I had been in college, and you know, that's its own dynamic. So all of a sudden I was post-grad, and it was kind of like there was no next clear milestone. And I was like, okay, you know, in your head, the major milestones are, you know, you go to college, you meet the guy, you get married, you have kids, etc. And when there wasn't a next clear milestone, I had this moment of just like, what am I doing? Like, what's next?
Totally.
And so I kind of had to rework how I viewed the world, you know, like that I started to just like take a step back and in prayer be like, Lord, what do you want for this season of my life? Mm-hmm. And one of the ways that that took shape is I started to go on these little solo adventures that I would post about, which inspired a lot of other people because it was like, it shouldn't be so crazy, but it is for some reason of like doing things alone and not waiting for another person to do them with. And yeah, I feel like I've just grown and evolved in that space of like learning how to be independent and love the life the Lord gave me right now, not the life he's given and gives me down the road.
That is so good.
So yeah, that's kind of how we got here and why we're talking about this topic today. But
yes, you know. And I feel like, I mean, a lot of women relate to you and a lot of women desire marriage deeply and like want to enter into that next step of the vocation. And I know that it can feel painful when it doesn't happen as soon as we hope or discouraging. And I relate in a sense, I feel like, to a lot of people in that season of waiting, just in a different sense. Like I'm waiting for my vocation of motherhood and waiting for that prayer be answered. And I think in a lot of ways, I so relate to what you just said about like, you hit the milestones and there's always this like next expected milestone. And I feel like I hit all those. I'm like, yeah, college, met the guy, got married, got the job, moved, next step, parenthood. And then it was like, parenthood, you know, like when is, we're waiting, Lord. And and it's a very mysterious season because it, you know, there's little control that I have. And I feel like in a similar way, people are waiting for their vocation of marriage. There is, it feels like there's little control. Like I can only meet so many people and like the Lord knows who the one is and he's going to wait his timing to give that person to me as a gift. So I relate to a lot of what you were saying. I know a lot of people do too. And when it doesn't happen as soon as we wanted it to, or in the timing that we thought, it can be really difficult and discouraging. How have you learned to balance like that longing, that very like, real longing with joy in the present moment?
Yeah, it's a really good question. And I feel like it's normal and healthy to long for some things, like for marriage or for children. And we don't have to like dismiss that. We can bring that to the Lord and kind of let him be with us in those areas. But I think in the meantime, like we are doing ourselves a disservice if that is all we are focusing on. There is so much other abundant life the Lord is offering us. And I think just making sure to like, to have gratitude for it. But I think to truly have gratitude, you have to seize it and step into it too. For me, that was kind of like praying with the Lord of like, what are the other milestones that are specific to me that aren't just like this societal milestones? It's like, what do I, maybe it's career. Maybe it's just like, hobbies, passions, maybe you want to be a better host, maybe you want to do this, and kind of finding those like little maybe mini baby milestones in between. Might not look the same for every single person, but like are still ways that the Lord wants to use this season of your life. I just think it hurts us more is that's all we are focusing on. So to give yourself more things to like pour into in those seasons while you're quote unquote waiting can really help to like alleviate a bit of that heaviness, that very real heaviness that shouldn't, you know, we shouldn't dismiss, but I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, totally. No, I think you're right. Like that desire and longing is there for a reason and it's a good thing. Like the Lord has placed that desire on our heart. And so obviously like you're going to long for that. And I don't think it's right to be like, I don't like when people say like the second you like let go and stop stressing about it and stop thinking about it and stop trying to make it happen, then it'll happen. Because I'm like, well, no, like as a woman who's called to marriage, you're not going to let go of that desire to marriage. As a woman who's a wife called to motherhood, you're not going to all of a sudden let go of that desire. Like you don't just like forget about those things. And then the Lord's like, ha, now I'm going to give it to you. You know, like it just, I feel like that's how it is. And so it is a balance of like entering in to that space with the Lord of waiting, drawing close to him. And I love what you said, just like finding the other milestones, finding the other chapters that he has to write for you in your life that might look different or smaller than like the big milestone you're waiting for, but can bring a lot of joy in between as well.
Yeah, he has so much more for us besides our like capital V vocation, as they call it. Yeah. Like that is probably the biggest thing, but it's not the only thing. And I think so often we think of it like the only thing. But like, what are you passionate about? You know, like explore that when you have this like time and capacity to like, how can you love other people? What like what other ways is the Lord working in your heart? I think exploring that is really fun. I love being single now because maybe not like you know, you go through times where it's really hard, but it is so fun to like have this freedom of single. And I know I'll love being married one day. Like I am so excited for that stage of life and to have kids, God willing. And at the same time, I've grown to just love it because I have all these other passions and interests that I have the capacity to dive into right now that I might not as much one day. Not that they'll go away by any means. Like I won't have the same amount of time and freedom that I do to like chase these dreams right now and things of that sort. And same, I mean, even it goes similarly with you with kids, like it just to be like, okay, there's, you know, one day you won't have this capacity and it doesn't, again, I can't emphasize enough that these things don't take away the hurt, you know, like that is going to be there and that is another journey to go on with the Lord. But in the meantime, like exploring what else he has for you in this season.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. We talk about that a lot too and how like we love to travel and we love our work and we like feel like, okay, the Lord is allowing space right now and time right now. And so instead of like sitting and waiting and just like doing nothing, it's like, let's live this to the fullest. Let's like take the opportunities he's laying out in front of you, just like one yes at
what
a time.
What can you do with this? Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Will lead us to the ultimate plan. What do you feel like are some of the biggest lies or misconceptions that single Catholic women face in today's culture within, or maybe even like within the church?
I think it's just that is like that your life begins once you're married and that the time in between now, like I've heard people refer to it as like right now, it's like purgatory. And I'm like, that's just not how it has to be. Well, it doesn't have to be this like waiting. Like your life isn't on pause until you get married. And I think we desire it. And like the way the church does love marriage, rightfully so. But that is just a thing. It is not the thing. I can't emphasize that enough. And yeah, I think there's a lot of pressure around women that it's like you are worthy once you are married and have a child. You are relevant in this conversation once you are married and have children. And I think that's just like it's gotten twisted. Nowhere does the church ever say that, you know? There's a lot of beauty in it, but it's not incorrect to not be married. Yeah, there are people who are called to singlehood their whole life, you know? So like does their life not have value? You know, like that's, even if it's just a season for you, even if that's just a temporary thing, it still kind of holds the same truth there that like there's a place for people in singlehood.
Absolutely. I think kind of going along with that lie that people believe that your life doesn't start until your big V vocation. I think another kind of nuance to that too, is that like, that is the fulfillment of your life. And being in marriage already, like you realize like marriage doesn't fulfill your every desire. It doesn't heal every wound. It doesn't like fill the God-sized hole we all have. It isn't the end all be all, even being in marriage right now and like having a beautiful, healthy marriage. Like you realize like, oh, like, wow, like you can't idolize this as like the fulfillment of your life because that's God's job. That's like not another human being's job. And so for like this waiting season, if we're spending that whole time just like waiting and longing and just kind of like wanting to grasp to like finally get that fulfillment, that's going to be a little disappointing. And you're going to realize, oh, shoot, this person isn't God.
Yeah, seriously. I think your insight here is so important too, being a married woman, of like you have been on the other side and I'm sure it's beautiful. But just like you said, like that person isn't going to fill that God-sized hole. I think another thing I hear often is just that like this season doesn't have purpose. You know, that this is just kind of like playing the waiting game and that my life will start to have more purpose once I get there. But you are still a friend, a daughter, a, you know, neighbor, all of these other titles that like deeply serve a purpose. And I think it's, it totally discredits all of those other titles in your life if all you're focused on is that you are not a wife.
Yeah, that is really well said. You mentioned this a little bit earlier, and I feel like you often talk about how this waiting shouldn't hold you back. What are some practical ways that you've gone out and lived fully, even without a boyfriend or a fiance or a spouse by your side?
Yeah. This is interesting because I feel like a lot of it also stemmed from, I have really fantastic friends, and I'm really extroverted. So I spend a lot of time with friends, and I have probably since college. But I found like I was hitting this place when I, you know, 3.5 years ago, found myself single. And then my friends, you know, they don't owe you the same amount of time that a significant other might. And it's just like, if people aren't around, then it's like, who do you do things with? It's like, I don't have someone to take this trip with. I don't have someone to go to this concert with, things like that. And it was a huge realization for me that I didn't have to be waiting for anyone else to go do those things. As an extrovert, I just kind of like my brain. That's how my brain operates. Is that like other people come with me? This is a group activity we do.
Very similar,
And so when I started, mentioned earlier the solo adventures I started doing, it just was like it's seriously been some of my favorite memories the past few years. Is I've gone to concerts alone. I've gone on trips alone. What is if I want to go to a coffee shop or even like a bar? You know, have a drink, bring a book. Like it is. So special to be able to experience those things by yourself and just like I find that I hate to get too cheesy like doing it with God, but like, there's something to like ends up so much more space in your brain that like I was with a friend I have good Catholic friends, we probably end up talking about God at some point, but there's like your brain starts wandering a bit and I feel like it's just like so much more space for the Holy Spirit to work when you are just kind of looking around, making sure to put your phone away, not spend too much time on it. Like, so many more. I mean, thinking back to adoration, different if it's not in the presence of the Eucharist, but like opening up that space for your brain to like wander alone, like just this whole new beautiful thing that I learned how to do. And I, one day when I have a spouse and children, I'm sure those will be so much more few and far between. So, getting to have these experiences. It's really special. Going skiing alone. That's one of my favorite things to do.
So cool.
So it's seriously some of my favorite memories of the past few years. And I feel like it's just helped me to live fully, truly, like in a real sense. Last summer, summer during the war, I went to a Noah Kahan concert. And I went alone and it was just like the most fun I ever had. I don't even think I asked any of my other friends because I knew they weren't like as big of fans as I was. But I was like, at this point, I love doing things alone. So like, I'm going to go get
hair.
And I went and did that. And he ended up giving a shout out to the people who went alone. And he said something like, is that cool? He was like, that's awesome.
So, whoa. Yeah. Like, what? That's so cool.
And like, actually, I'm not thinking about this. I'm like, why did he do that? I don't know. Whatever. Yeah. But I wrote down what he said and I think about it a lot.
I've never been to a concert where like the artist does that. Like That's a God moment.
God moment, maybe. Yeah. Because that was like a bigger one for me. That was one of the bigger things I had done alone was go to a concert.
Yeah. Brave. Very brave.
But I wrote down what he said, and I think about it a lot. It's so simple, but it's just when you learn to do things alone, the whole world changes. And really simple, but I just think that's a lot of truth held in a simple statement, because you just approach everything differently. Like, all of a sudden, the world's your oyster. You know, like, take the trip to go to the coffee shop, like, anytime, like, the Lord is kind of tugging on your heart, there's so much less hesitation there. It's just like this beautiful, abundant life that you get to enter into.
You know, one of the things I've learned in my clean living journey is that just because something looks clean doesn't mean it really is. Most laundry detergents leave behind hidden residues, fragrances, dyes, harsh chemicals that all sit on your clothes and against your skin. And if you're anything like me, you don't want that for yourself, your husband, your kids. That's why I love that there is a better way. Y'all know I love Truly Free's laundry detergent because they're made with plant-based, transparent ingredients. There's no hidden junk. It gives you a clean that you can actually trust. It actually works well, and it's safe for your home and for your family. And the best part is that they're offering an incredible deal right now that has been really popular in the past. When you buy two jugs, you get 150 loads completely free, plus a free laundry machine cleaner. It's $124 worth of clean laundry, but they're offering it for just $39. Honestly, that's a crazy good deal for something that gives so much product and so much peace of mind. So if you've been wanting to swap to a cleaner, safer laundry routine, now's the perfect time. Head over to the link in the show notes to grab yours and let your family's clothes be truly clean inside and out. I really believe that our church needs faithful and well-formed leaders. So our sponsor, the Augustine Institute, offers master's degree in theology, pastoral theology, and Catholic education that I want to point you to. They are rooted in scripture and tradition, offered online so it's easy to get this degree, or on campus if you want to be in person, or in a hybrid format if that's what works best for you. Here, you'll be equipped to teach, lead, and evangelize clearly and confidently. Augustine Institute graduates are leading today's church in parishes, dioceses, schools, and apostolates, and you could be next. So learn more and apply at augustine.edu. And I'm sure that there's a lot of, like, confidence and courage that is built up by doing that. Like, I'm sure the first time...
Totally.
You might feel a little awkward. You might feel like, oh my gosh, I look so lame. Like, what are people thinking? Like, I feel uncomfortable. You know, like, who do I talk to? Yeah. But then I bet the more you do it, the more you're comfortable with that kind of space and silence that you're talking about, which I am learning too is like such a good thing to have, to create space for silence. And then also, I'm sure it builds confidence because it's like, yeah, I can do things. Like, I don't need anybody to enjoy my life with me, you know, like, and I go out and get a drink and read a book or whatever, you know, like, I don't know. Did you experience that? Like, more confidence?
I did. Yeah. And when I talk to people about this, a lot of times people message me and they're like, ah, it's so scary though. And I'm like, you don't have to start with a concert or a trip or something. Like, start by going to a coffee shop. Like, I think slowly building it up, just like little by little with what you're comfortable with. I say what you're comfortable with. What I really mean is like being slightly uncomfortable, you know, like just pushing yourself little by little in those incremental levels of discomfort. And then it like it becomes so much easier. And 100% you hit the nail on the head. Like you become so confident and you realize no one really cares. Like, and if they do, that's on them. Like this girl's alone at a concert. Okay.
To you. No one's going to be like, hey, why are you here by yourself? Like, nobody is like,
good muscle to work is like learning to care less, you know, and like it builds confidence. And I think like, I don't know. There's so many ways that can have that level of confidence in yourself that you can see fruit from that in your life. I think about even like going into your faith then, like if I start speaking about my faith, it's like I have this confidence of like, this is what I'm doing. You can respond however you want, kind of a thing. I don't know if that makes sense.
Totally. No, it does. And I love the practical, like just start with going to a coffee shop and bring a book or if you're artsy, like bring some watercolors and just like bring something to do and just sit there. And then you don't have to also feel like just like sipping coffee, staring out the window. You know what I mean? Like
with your thoughts. Exactly.
And then maybe you'll enjoy it.
Yeah. I feel like the more you can put your phone away too, like that helps. We're even, okay, but honestly, even if like the first time you ever do something, got alone and you just sit and text a few friends, great. Like mm-hmm. that's still something if you're like really scared to do this. But then like yeah. I encourage people to like put it away because it like kind of helps you to like, it's this mindfulness practice of like look around, see what people are doing, you know? And I feel like that's what I was kind of saying is like when I can start to feel like, you know, my brain starts to wander somewhere and it's like the Lord can just like guide your thoughts so much easier if you don't have like this distraction right in front of you. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
You mentioned how, you know, in some of those moments you sometimes view it as like, oh, I'm just going to go like do this with the Lord. How do you feel like in general your relationship with God has deepened during the season of waiting?
Something I have reflected on previously is if you knew the exact day and time that you were going to meet your spouse, like how would you live? And I would be doing exactly this. It's like going and doing these solo adventures, enjoying time on my own, pouring into my friendships, deepening my relationship with God. And through that, I would know that this time came. And just, it really is just a practice of trusting that the Lord does know that time and place in which you're going to meet your spouse. And so you can take a step back. You can trust in Him. And I think it's been this huge practice of trust for me is that I don't need to like, if manhandle the situation, like it's God is taking care of it, and in the meantime I can enjoy this beautiful life He gave me. I don't need to be having anxiety about like when that day is gonna come.
I love that. So just like a deeper sense of like trust in the Lord, and I feel like what I'm thinking is like a peace that comes from trusting that God is in control. I think that I struggle with this. I'm sure a lot of people do. Like, we just, like, want to have control over our lives. Mm-hmm. And we just want to have control over, like, when things happen, how they're happening, like, how we're moving through life. And a big learning lesson for me the past few years is, like, God is in control. Like, we are not God. And that's a great thing. That's a gift to us. We don't want to be God. Like, we want to rely on God. And so I feel like I've seen this phrase here and there. And it's so simple. It's just, God is in control. And when I hear that, it just brings me so much peace because it like, it allows that like inner part of me that like wants to grasp and control and like make sure everything's perfect to like let go and be like, oh, I don't have to. Like God's got it. Like He doesn't just have a plan, but like He's actually in control of the world, life, the situation. He's guiding, like He's not, you know, like I'm not going to like mess it up.
One of my favorite Bible verses, I do not remember what the actual verse is, but it is, I'm confident and unafraid. My strength and courage is the Lord, for He has been my Savior. And there's just something so reassuring about that. I will like repeat that to myself sometimes, just like that I'm confident and afraid, like because the Lord is my Savior and I know that it is in His control. I think there's something really beautiful to that of just it. During these times of longing and like wanting the next thing, it's like it's such an opportunity to practice that like radical trust. That like if you don't have this belief in God, like this perfect God, like it's hard to do. You know, we're humans and we break each other's trust and we do these things. But like, so of course we are inclined to expect people to break our trust. But like when it comes to God and His plan, it's this supernatural feeling of just like it is in His hands.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned having like amazing friends and spending a lot of time with them. What role has community and friendship played for you in these years? And how can single women kind of cultivate that same community in their own lives?
Yeah, I am really blessed with a great group of friends. And I feel like it's just been this opportunity to pour into friendships in a lot of different ways. One of my good friends and I, several years ago, we started a weekly happy hour with our friends that we like coordinate a different location where we're going to be at every week. And like, it's an open invite and anyone can come. And it's just like been this great way to meet people. So like something like that, it's like, I have the time and capacity to bring these people together. And it has had so much fruit from that. In another way, I feel like my friends who are married and have kids and things like that, it's like I am able to support them in this way that like I would might not be able to if I was married and had my own kids. And so being able to like show up in bigger ways for them has been really filling. It's just kind of like pouring into the people around you is so filling, you know? And one day that will be probably more towards a spouse, but we have this opportunity right now to like invest in community and put our time and resources into community. And I think that's really beautiful. I've noticed that more, I'd say, the past year. One of my best friends became a mom, and I've just been showing up for her in as many ways as I can. I'm just like, wow, if this like were happening in the future, I don't know that I'd be able to time-wise do this, financially do this, you know, whatever. But like to be able to support is like so beautiful to like harness that sense of community.
I love that. I think that's such a beautiful like grace and just like truly like a holy thing that the Lord has like placed in your heart to recognize like in this sin of waiting to turn outward. I think it can be very easy to turn inward time and just be like, poor me, my situation sucks. Look at everybody else, compare my life to everybody else, and like sit in that like sadness.
It makes it so much worse.
It does. And I was about to say, like, I know, because I've experienced it. I've even fell into that myself, where I'm just like, this sucks, this sucks, this sucks, this sucks. Like, everything sucks. When I shift my mindset, and I agree with you too, like, I also have the capacity to support my sister-in-laws and my friends that have children by watching their kids and babysitting and allow them to do things that, like, give them, like, peace and freedom and joy and give them a little bit of a break, or being able to care for moms who just had their babies and, like, bring them care packages or make them food and stuff like that. And when we turn outwards and when we, like, I don't even know, like, what to call it, but just, like, turning – just like kind of tuning into that kind of like heart of a servant and just going outwards and being like, okay, like the Lord's space and time he's giving me is a gift. How can I use that gift to continue to be a light for others, to continue to serve the people in my life that he's given me, and how fulfilling and joyful that actually can be is beautiful.
Yeah. I feel like that this goes for people in a lot of different seasons of life. Like if you're going through some level of suffering and like hardship and longing, to turn outward is like so much to pour out into other people, because that's what the Lord did for us. There's something incredibly Christ-like about it that is way more filling than it is to go inward and focus on our own egos.
How do you feel like you navigate comparison, like whether friends who are married — you said one of your close friends married, has a baby now, starting their family, are just kind of in that next season that you're longing for?
Yeah, it is interesting having friends in different seasons of life, because I feel like in, you know, growing up and then in college, it's like you're all in the same season of life for the most part. Like maybe there's a little differentiation here and there, but like for the most part, the people you surround yourself are in a very similar season of life. It's all of a sudden you graduate and it's a free-for-all, you know? But what I've found since graduating, I had friends who started getting married like soonest immediately after college. And I found that the people who I stayed close with, who like have, you know, got married, even moved away, just like entered this new season of life, it's so much deeper friendship. And I think there's something really beautiful about that, is we're not just friends because we're in the same season of life. Like we are choosing to continue being friends. And I just think that far transcends friendships of proximity. Because you have to be intentional, you have to be understanding, you have to be vulnerable. I feel like I maybe have less friends, you know, like that than I maybe did in college, say, but they are so much deeper, you know. If I have a friend who has several kids by now, and we like, her schedule is so hard to balance with all these kids running off and doing all these different things, but it's like, we want to see each other, so we're going to see each other. Like, I will come to her. It's a really beautiful friendship, I think, to have friendships in different phases of life. And I think that has helped me, that perspective has helped me navigate that a bit and learning that and kind of loosening my grip on, like, I want to be in the same phase of life. You know, it's like there's something, even there's a lot of things I can learn from them too, that I know one day when I'm getting married, having kids, I can't wait to like tap them for advice and things like that. So I think just reframing it and valuing the like increased intentionality that comes behind those friendships has been really good for me.
Yeah. And it sounds like those more intentional, deeper friendships, and I feel like I relate to this too, like we can always have the temptation to compare ourselves, but with those deeper friendships, when it's not just surface level or just because you're in the same season, I feel like it's harder to do that. There's so much more to the friendship than just like, yeah, we're doing this together because we're in the same season. And so there's more appreciation for what God is doing in their life versus like kind of like stacking ours up against theirs and being like, okay, like, are we in the same season or not? Or like, why am I not there yet? Or you're ahead of me you know? And I feel like I feel that too with like close friends that I have having children. I'm like, I actually like the closer friend that we are, like the more I like desire and enjoy like celebrating them, and the less I feel like I compare and it's like, oh, it's not fair. Like you to be mom. Oh my gosh. I know. It's like, there's just like a joy that comes from walking with them in this season because there's so much more depth to the relationship than just, oh, we just both got married at the same time, you know?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's so much more depth and it's really beautiful. Like you get to get excited to see like what God has in store for the other person in their different story, their different story that's unfolding.
Yeah.
I love that.
I think another lie that we didn't touch on earlier, but I think is important is that women often feel like they're falling behind if they're not in this next season of life. And like life is passing them by and they're stuck in this prior season and they're falling behind and all is going by. So what encouragement would you give to that woman who feels that way because she's not married yet?
Yeah. Good news is that God is not on a timeline. He's not like, oh, shoot, you missed your window. You were supposed to be married by 25 and you missed it. Too bad. It's God has this like unique story for each of us. And I think instead of asking, why not yet? Why not me? Changing that question to be like, Lord, how do you want me to live fully today? What do you want for this season of my life right now? And just changing that narrative, I think, can do wonders. Every season has value. You're not, that God isn't going to waste your time.
I love that. That's true. Yeah. God is not wasting anyone's time. And his time is the ultimate time. And he is outside of time. And so, yeah, you're right. Like, he's not looking at our lives being like, oh, man, you're so behind or you missed it. Or like, you didn't like even miss his signal, you know? Like, I think a lot of the time we're discerning God's will. Like, oh, is he the one? Or is this the time? Like, we think, like, we need to, like, hear him, like, scream it from the rooftops or else we're going to accidentally miss it. And then it was like, shoot, we missed God's will. We can't miss God's will. And, like, he has a date written for when you're going to meet your spouse and when you're going to marry your spouse and when you're going to have your children and when you're going to enter that stage. And we can't do anything to change it. And I think sometimes, like, when viewed with a really, like, grasping mindset, that can be really scary. But when we actually allow ourselves to be like children taken care of by the Lord, that's actually so freeing to know like, I can't do anything to delay the timeline or to rush the timeline. It has a time and it's God's perfect time. And so I can just rest in the everyday and be present in the everyday.
Yeah. It is not, it's the, what is it, X, whatever. It is not for us to know the times and seasons which God has set by his own authority. And it's our, and human nature to grab control of it, but it's not for us. And I think being able to surrender that, the surrender novena is really beautiful for that. If you're not familiar, you can look it up. But it's, I always just pray, there's a whole novena that goes with it, but just that Jesus, I surrender myself to you, take care of everything. Flipping that to Jesus, I surrender this timeline to you, take care of everything. I think that's really powerful. And just like practicing that muscle of trusting the Lord through everything.
Yeah, that is so good. I'm going to have to link that novena in the show notes because I've read it many times and it is really good.
It's that prayer is like just the one liner of it is like one of my go-tos of like, I always just switch out myself with whatever is like in front of me. Jesus, I surrender like to you, take care of everything. I think that's a very fruitful prayer.
It is. It really is. So as we wrap up here, if you could give advice, just any advice to the girl who's in a season of singleness and struggling, what would you want her to walk away with?
Life starts now. Life isn't waiting for you to get married. Your life is happening right now. Please don't miss it. Ask God what dreams he wants for your life, what he wants you to like chase after in this season of life, how what he wants you to pour into. And I am sure once you are able to start changing that narrative in your prayer, instead of spending 100% of your time praying for your future spouse, spend 50% of that time maybe praying about what God wants for you right now, because your life isn't dependent on when that happens. God knows when you're going to meet your person, and he will take it from there. In the meantime, live this life to its absolute fullest extent.
I love that. Thank you for just sharing so openly and encouraging, and also just vulnerably about your life and your experience. Where can we find more of you, Mackenzie?
You can find me at Academy Catholic on Instagram.
Perfect. I love it.
Hey, well, thank you so much for having me.
Yes, of course. We'll see you later. Okay, now we're moving on to our last segment, Everbee Answers. When I recorded this podcast with Mackenzie, I forgot to include Everbee Answers in it because it was still so new to me and the podcast hadn't come back yet. And I was just getting used to the whole new segment structure. So don't worry, you're still getting an Everbee Answers today. We're going to answer one question from our Kingdom Club Patreon community, and then we're going to answer three more in the after party show afterwards, where Trey and I answer all of your most burning, most juiciest, most controversial, out there, unfiltered questions. Or, you know, some of them don't have to be that crazy. So the question I'm going to answer today is, what are your thoughts on bailing for Mass? I'm considering it, but I feel like if I start, I won't be able to go back. And I'm answering this one because I feel like I get this question a lot, which is interesting because I have never posted anything that shows me wearing a veil. So I wonder why I get this question so much. I'm like, I don't think I'm the person to ask. My thoughts on veiling for Mass is that it's a very beautiful practice. I have nothing against it. I probably only have things for it. But I will say I don't believe that it is necessary or that every woman needs to veil for Mass. From what I know from friends who have this practice, or when I have seen people talk about it online, is that it is a very beautiful like act of reverence towards the Lord, and that it should be done in a way that is not done in vain or is a distraction to you or others. It's supposed to help you. Let me just look up. So hold on. I pulled up Truthly, which is like the Catholic AI, and I asked it, why do some women veil for Mass? What is the purpose? So I'm just going to share with you right here. This is like real teaching of the Catholic Church. Women may choose to veil during Mass as an expression of reverence and humility before God, drawing from Scripture, 1 Corinthians 11, and tradition. Classic Catholics, right? The veil serves as a symbol of the sacredness of the liturgy and the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. And for many, it helps focus their interior disposition on prayer and adoration. So it helps people focus on the Lord and kind of remove distractions around them, kind of like little blinders, you know what I mean? While it's not required, veiling is a personal choice reflecting the individual devotion and a desire to embrace this beautiful tradition. So like I said, it's a beautiful practice, and I don't have anything against it. I just personally was never taught it growing up, was never ever around a community that did that. I mean, remember, I grew up in Washington, which is like not a super traditional place to be, even in the Catholic Church. So nobody veiled like at my church. I still don't think anybody veils at my home church. So I was just never around it. And then when I started to meet people and be in spaces where people did veil, I didn't necessarily feel drawn to it or like it would increase my devotion. If anything, I think for me personally, I think for me it would be a little bit of a distraction, just like having something on my head or kind of worrying about like if it's sitting right or what it looks like or how it matches my outfit, you know, which isn't the purpose, and it shouldn't be what it is at all. It shouldn't be a distraction. So I've just personally never felt called to it. But I think it's beautiful when I see other women do it. I think it just reveals like a deeper devotion and a love that they have for the Lord in the liturgy. All right, that is our question that we're answering today for Everbee Answers. And then if you are part of our Kingdom Club, you will hear the answers to three other questions. I'm going to give you a sneak peek right now. One question is, sometimes in adoration, my mind just drifts all over the place. I sit there wanting to be with Jesus, but then I leave feeling like I wasn't really present. Have you ever struggled with that? And what helps you stay focused on him when distractions come? I love that. I know exactly the strategy you need to use. Um, Next question is, Mari and Trey, how do your spiritual lives differ from each other? What things do you do together? What things do you do apart, such as rosaries, novenas, reading scripture, faith books, etc.? I'm excited to answer that one. I'm working on a spouse's devotional right now, so I talk a little bit about that in that. And then the third question is, any advice to continue trusting in God and being Catholic while struggling with fertility issues or multiple pregnancy losses? Y'all know I can relate to this to an extent, and it's very close to my heart. So when women reach out to me sharing their struggles, I love speaking to them and just offering some sort of encouragement and comfort that we're going through the same thing. So I'll be answering that as well. If you want to get in on these, make sure you join the Kingdom Club. The link is in the show notes, and we'll see you at the after party. When it comes to clean beauty, I don't think we should ever have to choose between products that work and products that are safe, which is why I love Crunchy. They create high-performance makeup and skincare that actually delivers results while holding to the highest clean beauty ingredient standards in the industry. On my busy days, my go-to quick makeup routine is their tinted SPF paired with the liquid blush and a quick swipe of the lip oil. It's so fresh, effortless, glowy, and it takes just minutes to feel put together. When it comes to skincare, Crunchy has truly elevated my routine. The Golden Light Serum gives my skin a beautiful glow and does all this anti-aging work on my skin. The I Am Polished Exfoliator is the perfect exfoliator for smoother skin in minutes. And then the Nightlight Advanced Cream has been a game changer for hydration, and it is so luxurious. Every single Crunchy product is clean, safe, totally safe for pregnancy and breastfeeding, and it's made with total ingredient transparency, so you can trust what you're putting on your skin without ever sacrificing for the performance. So if you're ready to clean up your beauty routine and finally feel confident in what's in your makeup bag, head to the link in the show notes and use the code ADVOCATE10 to get 10% off your first order of $50 or more. Thank you so much for listening in. If you've enjoyed this episode, please share it with your friends and on social media, and give me a 5-star rating on whatever podcast platform you're listening on. That helps me and the show out so much. Also, make sure to follow the podcast on Instagram at @everbepodcast. And if you want more content like this and you don't already follow me, you can also follow me on Instagram at mari.c.wagner. And may his praise ever be on our lips. God bless.